This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com, and the program, as always, being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. Big program forthcoming, always on a Tuesday. Every day's big, let's be honest. Tuesday, maybe not the biggest day. It's early in the week, but we do talk fantasy. Still have, what, 4 more weeks of the fantasy regular season, so we'll do our usual buy low and sell high. We'll do it in the first segment today because we do have an extra guest on the program as well. At the end of the show, per usual, I will pop out my waiver wire recommendations. Not bad. It's been a pretty good year of waiver wire recos, but the cupboard's a little bare. 17 tight ends, though, if you're in need of a tight end. That's good news. So we'll also talk with our guy Stephen O'Rourke, as always, on a Tuesday. Very early look at the upcoming week, week 11. But we'll also talk a little gambling with Ashley Haas, who is a person that I've done some podcasting with, and she's in the gambling game. So she brings a pretty unique perspective. So we'll see what she has cooking. Also a lifetime Eagles fan. So let's get her thoughts. We were going to pop her on yesterday to get her thoughts on the Philly Birds, but I think we had it covered on yesterday's show. Let's recap what happened. It was another big week or big night for this year program as we go 6-0, baby, on the props. Gotta love it. Gotta love sports. Basically, you gotta love gaming activity when things go well for you. I am still a little upset that the Monday night special did not hit, though. As you can see, we did a good job of selectively picking basically the right plays. Let's be honest here. We took the Jordan Love running. I kind of knew it was going to be a slugfest or a slog, whatever you want to call it. Ugly football. It was nasty. I mean, we are in November after all. I was really eyeballing a number of unders. Luke Musgrave, I kind of like that one. Dallas Goedert, that came really, really close. But overall, a good day. Devontae Smith was the number one prop, and that was the analysis. It was a Devontae Smith game, and it was not going to be an A.J. Brown game. Of course, A.J. Brown, I took the under on the 4.5 grabs. He comes out, catches 2 early balls. I'm like, uh-oh. And nothing since then. And, of course, Romeo Doubs does get hurt. So this is 2 that we've actually had guys get hurt. But here's the thing about both of them. Doubs and Gadsden. It's like, oh, great. I don't want anybody to get hurt, but if somebody's going to get hurt, let it be on an under that I have. But I would argue strongly that it's kind of funny that they got hurt because they were not hitting it anyway. Did Doubs get a catch? I think he got 1, and then he got hurt. He had to get 5, so I think we were going to be good there. And then Gadsden got hurt in the third quarter, but he was not doing anything as well. I also kind of sneakily stuck that Josh Jacobs receiving prop in there, and that was wonderful. That was an easy win there. The Christian Watson was a little bit of a sweat situation, no doubt about it, 40.5, but here's the thing. Number one, he had a 22 or 23-yard catch called back on, I think it was an alignment thing. It was like a pretty minor penalty that I don't think affected the play whatsoever. And had he caught that ball, now he's like 12 yards shy of the Monday night special. I'm concentrating to make sure I get the day right here because we got Thursday specials, we got Monday specials. But if you notice at the very end of the game, and Troy Aikman mapped it out brilliantly because, I mean, he's great. He's great at his job. Think he should be. He played quarterback at a very high level for a number of years, decade plus, got 3 rings. He's really good. And his opinion, and I saw the exact same thing, if on that last throw down the field to Christian Watson, I think he was open. If Love pushes that ball to the boundary just a little bit more and has Watson run under it, I think we go full clean sweep here. I think we get the special And I think we get the touchdown and then we go 6-0, but we can't complain too much. No question about it. We do go 6-0 in November. November is in full swing. You know, I'm very happy that, you know, I kind of made a big deal out of this, even dating back to last year, because I was so upset with all the futility in November. Well, happy to report that we're 11-1 on unders here in November, which, again, I keep saying it, probably going to curse us. But spoiler alert, I have a best bet today for Thursday Night Football, and you could be damn sure it is an under. So stay tuned for that. But without any further ado, we're going to condense the segments just a little bit here. Let's play a little buy low and sell high. I don't have any other thoughts here on the game per se, although I'm going to be addressing a number of players who were in this game when we talk players to trade and trade for, and also when we talk waiver wire. But here is the list that I have. And again, things change very quickly, seasons within the season. I'm simply looking to take advantage of perceived values currently versus expectations and expected value production based on the schedule. So here is the list of the buy low dudes. Let's go Jalen Hurts. I mean, he is coming off probably his worst game of the year for fantasy on national TV. He's only ninth in rushing yards for quarterbacks. That's pretty low. 18th in passing yards. We all know that they're playing in the leather helmet era most weeks. And he's 11th in touchdowns. So he's only the QB7. So, you know, whomever drafted Hurts, they're probably a little underwhelmed. So it might be a little bit of a buying opportunity. All I simply see is three matchups forthcoming that he should crush. Detroit. And then Dallas. Those teams are playing a lot of man. Good for A.J. Brown. And then we got Chicago. Jalen Warren, we did see a little Caleb Johnson in week number 10, but Kenny Gainwell has not been a factor. He's still the guy, and he's looking great this week. I mean, it's worth trading for him maybe just for this week against Cincinnati. But then he's got Buffalo in week 13. Those are two choice matchups. He does have Chicago in week 12. It's not scary, although they're doing a little bit better against the run. As I mentioned with Jalen Hurts, very good matchups here for A.J. Brown, Arthur Juan, if you will. Detroit plays a lot of man. That's great. Dallas, they're playing man. Great. Chicago, they don't play a lot of man, but they're not great on the back end. Chargers could be a little bit of a problem, but then we have D.C., and that's really good. And then Buffalo, that might not be wonderful, but that could be a little bit of a shootout. Marvin Harrison, we won that under last week. He did score. It's not like he's crushing people, but maybe a small little buying opportunity. I did say this about 3 weeks ago with him, and that was a good thing because he went off that next game. But, you know, a little bit of a dip, I guess. He only caught three balls on 12 targets, but I like the next three soft matchups here for Marv. San Fran, they literally have no pass rush, none. Jacksonville and Tampa overall looks pretty good. T. Higgins, you know, we're digging a little deeper here, but, you know, we're looking at coverages, not only the matchups, but he is their man beater. Oh, here he comes. And he's got three matchups upcoming against defenses that play more man than most. So he could go on a little bit of a run here, mini run against Pittsburgh, New England, and at Baltimore. TJ Hockenson is, in fact, my biggest regret this year. I've been on an apology tour for the last couple of weeks, apologizing for giving the Hock Alarm, as I call them, a lot of love. The Hock Alarm, by the way, is broken. It didn't go off. We all overslept. The snooze button didn't work either. But he's so underwhelming, but he does have a really good schedule for schematically for him. Chicago, Green Bay, Seattle, DC, Dallas, Giants, and Detroit. Those last three or four aren't unbelievable because they play a lot of man, but he should do very well against the first three or four I mentioned. I know Jordan Love, it was so underwhelming, but I do like this schedule here. A lot of good schematic matchups. Giants, Vikings, Lions, Bears. Saquon Barkley I added to the list. I don't think he's on there, but I like his upcoming matchups. I'm into Justin Jefferson still, no doubt about it. Let's take a look at some players that I'd be willing to move on from. Caleb Williams, he may still excel for fantasy the next couple of weeks, but I see a lot of problem areas for him in terms of the schematics, like Philadelphia, Green Bay, Cleveland, Justin Herbert. You know, Jacksonville this week is a good matchup, but then he's got the bye. Then he's got a really poor stretch of matchups against stingy defenses. Vegas, Philly, KC, Dallas is pretty good. And then Houston, that's not good. Matt Stafford, I remember listing him about 5 weeks ago as a good buy low. Hopefully you did, but maybe sell high here because I don't love these matchups here overall. Seattle, Tampa, Carolina, Arizona, those five right there, very stingy. Same deal with Baker Mayfield. He bounced back a little bit this week, but not loving it here. Buffalo, LA Rams, Arizona, New Orleans, not wonderful. I also have DeAndre Swift on my list here. Don't love his upcoming matchups. Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Green Bay, Cleveland, and Green Bay. And also, you know, Chris Olave coming off that big game. I don't really love what I'm seeing here starting week 12 up against Atlanta, Miami, Tampa, Carolina. They're all pretty darn stingy. And then also Chase Brown. Still don't like his upcoming matchups in the immediate future. And also Jake Ferguson. Pretty nasty slate of matchups against teams that are pretty stingy against the tight ends. The problem with Ferguson, still a very good player, but they're going to be, I believe, a lot more, you know, CD and Pickens centric. So there is that. When we return, let's talk with our guy Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data, see what he has cooking for week 11 here on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points. It's brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cash. Very quickly, download Better. Visit better.app now. Sign up today. Get a free $10. No deposit necessary. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We're just kind of recovering from the conclusion of the week last night. And we always demand early data from our guy, Stephen O'Rourke. It's like, enjoy. I'm glad you enjoyed the game that ended 12 hours ago. Now give us the goods for next week now. He is always happy to oblige. He is on the X machine at CallMeSteve07. Stephen O'Rourke, how are you, Steve? What's going on?
Not much. I'm doing well. Another good week. It was nice to see the Lions bounce back. I'm excited for the Lions-Eagles matchup this week. It's just we're getting down to crunch time this year, and I don't know. We're finally starting. I feel like it's finally starting to flesh out of like what teams are good and what teams aren't.
Right. Well, the Green Bay Packers, they're not very good on offense, and neither are my Minnesota Vikings. So I think your Lions are looking good. But not over yet. Big must win for the Vikings. Every game the next 7 weeks must win. But let's cares at this point. Maybe they do care if Justin Jefferson starts heating up, as I do believe he will. But let's get into what you see popping here early, for sure, in week 11. Let's start with Woodrow Marks, who is obviously still kind of sharing the ball there with Nick Chubb, but you like the matchup here against Tennessee. What do you see with Mr. Marks?
Yeah, and this week officially, Marks hit his highest snap share, his highest rushing attempt share for the team, and that seemed to have kind of be progressing that way the last couple of weeks. He had 63.6% of the carries last week, 78.3% of the snaps, and 60% of his carries this year come out of 11 personnel, He averages 4.5 yards a carry. Now that compare that to just 2.5 yards per carry out of all other personnel. And what's nice is that Tennessee allows 8.6 yards per carry against 11 personnel their last three games. If you spread them out, you can move the ball on them on the ground. I think that bodes well for Woody Marks. I mean, Cam Ward, I expect him to struggle against this defense. Tennessee just looks kind of broken as a team overall, and I just think that it's going to push toward a rush-heavy scheme for Houston, and I think Woody Marks takes advantage of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're saying 11 personnel, and it's almost like foreign to my ears now. I mean, 10 years ago, it was like everywhere, and now it's like McVay all of a sudden is going heavy on our asses, playing three tight ends. It's unbelievable. They're kind of indefensible. And by the way, them and Seattle kind of mirror images of one another, so that'll be a fascinating matchup. But we digress. In that very same division, Jacoby Brissett is up against the Niners, and I'm hearing it, man. I'm here for it because, you know, I wrote last week that Matt Stafford would probably enjoy reading a couple of novels while in the pocket waiting for the receivers to get open. And he threw for another four touchdowns. And Jacoby Brissett has been Mr. Steady Eddie in his four starts. Yep. He's got like 287 yards or more in all four starts, and that should continue this week. What else do you see with Brissett?
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned it in the segment with talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. with that San Francisco struggles to get pressure. The last 4 weeks, they're getting pressure on just 27.5% of dropbacks, which is tied 31st in the NFL in that stretch. They're allowing an 81.6 completion percentage to the targets in the slot, which is 32nd. They give up 7.35 yards per attempt. And they also allow 8.63 yards per attempt to inline targets. Both of those favor McBride. I'd say about 70% of his routes come from slot or in line. And when Brissett's not under pressure, he plays well. He averages 7.59 yards per attempt, which is 17th to slot targets when not under pressure, at a 76% completion percentage. And overall, he averages 8.13 yards per attempt, which is 12th in the league when not under pressure. So all of that to say, I think last week it came unraveled when he faced pressure. He fumbled twice, but when, you know, their offensive line kind of picked it up, granted it was later in the game, but he started to click a little bit, and I think he's able to get going early and often against San Fran.
Stephen O'Rourke on the line with us per usual on a Tuesday on the X machine at Call Me Steve O, delivering the goods. He's out there data mining here on a Tuesday afternoon. And next up, got to admit that Kamani Vidal has been pretty darn decent. I'm starting to call him Kamani Vidal Sassoon. You may not get that reference, but put it this way. If you're starting him like last week, you're having a good hair day because, you know, life is good. He did score. And now you're up against the Jaguars. What do you see here for Kamani Vidal Sassoon up against the Jags?
Yeah, and this one could come back to bite me because Ryan Heath actually just tweeted it out, and I noticed it earlier looking at data that Kamani Vidal even weeks are the thing to do. He, if you look at it the last since he took over the starting role, every other week on even weeks, he's going for over 15 carries and over 100 yards a carry, pretty, or 100 yards a game, pretty much. We're in an odd week, so we'll see if I can buck the trend or if the trend bucks me. But the Jaguars are allowing a 55.7% success rate on rushes the last three games, which is 29th in the NFL. They allow 5.37 yards per attempt and 68% success rate against zone concept runs. Kamani Vidal is second in the NFL in carries the last 4 weeks, and 60% of his rushes come on zone concept runs. When Kamani Vidal has carried the ball 15-plus times, he's averaging 112 yards per game. So it really comes down to do the Chargers lean into the run a little bit, or do they go more pass heavy? I expect them to, you know, I expect their defense to do well. I expect them to kind of muck up the picture for Trevor Lawrence a decent amount, and it's going to push them towards, you know, kind of similar to Houston, a little bit more rush heavy scheme.
Well, you know, we do have 700 data points for every player, for every single play in the NFL every single week over at Fantasy Points Data. And if we're really devolving into using the odd even week thing in terms of our analysis, I don't know about that one, but I hear you. I am superstitious with that kind of stuff, but it's kind of a joke.
Right.
It's like, oh, we have 700 data points pointing to a good game, but yeah, it's an odd week. So, you know, forget it. Nah, we'll see. We shall see. And then last but not least, here's a guy that I've been a fan of from the beginning. Good dude, all that. Great, great separatist. But there's another guy on the same team that's been making more plays, and that's Roman Wilson. But the subject here would be Calvin Austin. And you do like this matchup against Cincinnati. They don't give up a ton of big plays. So what are you seeing here with Calvin Austin?
Yeah, since coming back from injury week 8, Calvin Austin's leading the team in target share at 18.6%. And, you know, the Steelers offense and himself have kind of struggled from like a yards per route run standpoint, but Cincinnati's defense bad, and we've seen it consistently. Calvin Austin didn't play in the previous matchup, but since he is allowing 10.5 yards per attempt to targets in the slot the last 4 games, Calvin Austin has a 25% target rate when he's lined up in the slot, and he runs 66% of his routes out of the slot. So I think he's a guy that Aaron Rodgers looks to often. If in the game against Cincinnati last time, they were super tight end heavy. Like every tight end they started had a touchdown. They all had decent games. I expect Calvin Austin to kind of fill in some of that gap of tight end production a little bit. And Aaron Rodgers, you could see it on Sunday night. He got a little bit upset with Calvin Austin dropping the football, but you know, drops in are not always a consistent thing. I think that he's going to keep feeding him the ball and keep trust and keep relying on him, because DK Metcalf is struggling to get separation this year.
Oh, brutal.
And while, you know, it's tough to watch, and I don't really love the usage, it kind of seems like they're trying to use him like Davante Adams, and I just don't think he's fit for that role. Calvin Austin, I think, is going to continue to get fed the ball because he does make a lot of separation, and over the middle is where Cincinnati struggles a lot.
Well, I can tell you from having interviewed Calvin Austin, and I've talked to multiple people who cover the team, like everybody loves Calvin Austin, like the coaches, the beat writer, everybody loves this guy. So I'm sure Aaron will forgive and forget about the drop. And we will not forget to follow you on the X machine once again at CallMeSteve07. Steven O'Rourke, Fantasy Points Data. Great stuff as always, sir. Good luck with all the plays. We'll talk to you
next week.
And before we get to our next guest, Ashley Haas, we asked the question, if you think you know sports, do you know sports? Then it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks is a daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. You download the Better app. You pick more or less on your favorite player stats. And if your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required, but when you do deposit, you can get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Better has year-round action on NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Head to better.app, that's BETR, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 in your deposit bonus today. When we return, Ashley Haas will be all in on gaming activity for week 11 next year on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. Happy Veterans Day. Shout out to all the veterans past and present. I am John Hansen, and we are going to go to the Progressive guest line right now. Ashley Haas, host of Newsweek's All In with Ashley. She is on the X machine, more of an IG person, full disclosure, but she's on X at Ashley's Picks, and her and I have crossed paths a number of times over the years, and she absolutely brings it. What is up, Ashley? Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. And also thank you to everyone who served in the military. My dad was actually a Marine in Vietnam. So that is why I am currently not in my normal setup. I am in my home bedroom, and I am going to pay my respects to my father as soon as we're done here and hang out with my old man and just watch some TV, because that's all he likes to do nowadays.
Well, you and I have the same area code on our cell phones because we're from the same general area, and that is the Philadelphia area. So let's get your thoughts first and foremost, because you're out there. If anyone follows you on Instagram, they see a lot of you wearing a lot of Philly garb. You're a Philly girl. What can we say? Your thoughts on
I'm rocking the Kelly Green today.
There it is. Yeah. They only get 10 points. So how concerned are you as we push toward the playoffs here with this offense here in Philly?
You know, I have been concerned for a while now. I am not loving, you know, these tush push constantly. Even that call was so ridiculous that Nick Sirianni made to have them do a tush push with it's supposed to be on the 1 yard line. That's it. And honestly, even then, it should be, you know, only when necessary. And I think we rely on it too much. Our defense was incredible last night. I'm still iffy about my own team. Listen, I am diehard Eagles. I really am. But I think next week's game against the Lions is really going to be an absolute testament to what we are really made of. I'm worried because I really think the Lions are great. I really do. And honestly, I wouldn't even mind if the Lions made it to the Super Bowl. I'm probably going to sprinkle a little bit of money on them actually to go. You know, I'm a true Philadelphia Eagles fan. What can I say? I'm always not optimistic. So there you go.
Right, right. Well, what do you think about right now? Like, you know, they're plus 800 to win the Super Bowl, but I'm more curious than to look at plus 370 to win the NFC Championship. I'm assuming that you're not loving that bet, even though it seems pretty good to me, but you're not into that.
To win the championship?
Yeah, to win the NFC.
No, it's not a bad bet. I mean, listen, I definitely like to sprinkle a little bit of money on two teams usually. I like to pick a couple of teams. I actually like to do it around this time. Thanksgiving is my favorite time to make these bets. You know, I took actually four teams last year just to cover myself, and all four made it to the conference. It was to the AFC Championship and to the NFC Championship.
Nice.
So I didn't really care. You know, and I was quite happy with that. But do I think I could do that again this year? No, I think this year's a wild card, man. I am not sure. You know, there are so many amazing contenders. I really do hope that we go. I'm scared with our schedule. The Eagles' schedule is a little bit rough right now. And it's not, I mean, you know, we'll see. I like that. I do like that at plus 375. I would say I know we're going to make it to pretty far in the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, How about the Lions? I'm liking the Lions, man.
How about this Sunday night up against those Lions? And let's see, they are, looks like 3-point favorites, 2.5-point favorites in Philly.
Yeah.
You know, Jared Goff is not the best cold weather quarterback. We'll see where it is now. I know it's pretty damn cold in Philly right now. Any thoughts on that one?
Oh,
Sunday night football, your Philly Birds hosting Detroit minus 2.5.
Oh my gosh. No, I can't touch that game personally, but I was actually saying I like the Lions for the conference, but that's a game as an Eagles fan I'm not so loving, because this, like I said, is a telltale sign. You know, there are so many good matchups this weekend, and I don't like that it's a short week for the Eagles. You know, the Lions are just so tough. Like, this is one of the best. There's so many good matchups. There's the Lions versus Eagles game. There's the Chiefs at Broncos. There's Seahawks at Rams and Bucks at Bills. To be honest with you, the one that I think is the easiest, not the easiest, but the one that I feel the strongest about that I'm going to put in my own locks on Ashley's picks is going to be Bucks at Bills game. And I'm taking the Bills to cover. And when I think a team is going to cover the spread, I say spread them. So I think the Bills are going to cover that 5.5-point spread. That's one of my locks. Otherwise, you know, there are some really close ones. Like, I really think, like, Seahawks at Rams, we're going to find out both of these teams who they are. The Chiefs, I still don't know how they are the favorite right now to win the Super Bowl. To me, it's crazy because I don't know. I need to see that game. Those are games that I want to do more. I'm going to do more research into player props. I want to do some over-unders. I really am more about for those games because they're so close. that's where I would lean into some other stuff. Whereas I really do love, weirdly enough, I don't say sprinkle a lot of money, but right now for Thursday Night Football, and I am probably crazy and the only person that's going to say this, but 89% of the money right now is on the Patriots. Yeah. It is a division rivalry. The Patriots are killing it. But at 11.5 points, that is a lot for a division rivalry. Even for the Jets, man, I hate to say it, but special teams really surprised me last week. And I think, I don't know, call me crazy, but with the Patriots at minus 800 on the money line, it just seems like Vegas wants you to take, you know, to take the Patriots. So I'm leaning towards the points, but I don't say put a lot of money on it. I'm not like bet the house on the Jets because I'm not crazy, but it just seems to me like this could be a trap game. And I love a division rivalry because anything can happen. And I think 11.5 points is a little too steep for my blood.
You're still doing your research. It's not an official pick and all that. But if they do end up covering, I will give you a shout out for sure on Friday's show. Well,
I will be the only person that said the Jets because, listen, this Patriots team is incredible. It reminds me so much of Tom Brady and Gronk. You know, it's been such a fun time to watch again. You know, I really am loving, you know, Stefon Diggs and Drake May. I mean, I actually have goosebumps because I just love football so much. And as much as I hated Tom Brady Patriots years, it's kind of nice to see it all come back full circle again, you know? And as crazy as I am for saying that the 2-7 Jets could possibly against the spread, could take on the 8-2 Patriots. This is why. I'm going to give you a little bit of some information that I pulled, and this is why I'm leaning towards it. Right now, New York has performed one of the best roles as an underdog. They're going 5-2 against the spread this season, and they've covered all three of they've covered 3 of 4 in the overall on the road against the spread. So they're 3-1 against the spread on the road. I don't know. I mean, listen, like, they're also, weirdly enough, ranked 4th in rush offense with 141.8 yards. I'm just leaning towards Freaky Friday situation, except, you know, clearly it's on a Thursday. So that's what I'm leaning towards. Well, wilder things could happen, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You never know. The fact that the Jets, with literally most weeks without an actual offense, they literally don't have one. Most weeks, the fact that they're 5-2 against the spread means you might actually seriously be on to something here. Ashley Haas, host of Newsweek's All In with Ashley. Follow her on X at Ashley's Picks. And also, I'm sure just search Ashley Haas on IG and you'll find it. That's where she does a lot of the pickage and the like. Ashley, well, thanks for hopping aboard. It was great to chop it up with you, and we'll catch you down the line.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me. And next time I'll get you guys a ton of locks. I'm going to be ready.
There it is. We'll do it a little later in the week as well, so you have a little bit more time to do your research. Well, I've already done my research on your top week 11 waiver wire pickups, and those are forthcoming. The top 10 on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The final week to grab VSiN Sports Equinox Special is upon us. For just $120, get VSiN Pro access, full access through May 1st for less than $20 a month for every edge, every sport, every day. That includes daily best bets from our hosts and guests, live betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, and Bracco, AI-powered prop projections and matchup tools, 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus full coverage of football, basketball, hockey, March Madness, the NFL Draft, and the Masters. Don't miss your last chance to lock in this special rate. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And welcome back to the final segment of a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I do have a best bet that I'll pop out. It's no under. I mean, what are we going to do here? It's no under. We need unders. We're winning on unders, so we'll try and keep winning here in the beautiful, repugnant month of November. I say that as a term of endearment because, you know, as long as we're taking the unders, we can, I watched that ugly football last night. I'm like, this is great. This is craptastic. We're 6-0. Anywho, let's take a look at the waiver wire and see what's popping. A bunch of the same names, like our guy Alec Pierce. Guy's unbelievable. Looks like Lance Allworth out there, averaging 20.9 yards per reception. That's a reference for the kids. I'm not even old enough to remember Lance Allworth, but the dude was, like Alec Pierce, one hell of a deep threat, no doubt about it. And while he doesn't get a lot of targets, we know, but I mean, the dude can drop 3/60 in like 3 minutes. So like he's got a decent floor. And as we saw last week, a really nice ceiling. Joey Burrow is on the list. Now, first and foremost, I would not sell the farm or sell out or spend all my free agent dollars on Joe Burrow. But on the other hand, he's Joe Burrow. And I the guy led the NFL in passing yards last year and threw 43 touchdowns. So, and by the way, the soon-to-be 41-year-old replacement, Bro Flacco, all he does is throw 3 touchdown passes every single week. So it's certainly a good situation. However, they could lose their next 3. And then maybe in 3 weeks, maybe Burrow's ready in 2 to 3 weeks. But they have a brutal schedule here. So, I mean, do I want him on my side? Yes, I do. Regardless. But I'm not going cuckoo over here because they could shut it down. Like they got Pittsburgh, New England, and Baltimore. That's 0-3. And then they're probably looking at 3-9. And then they got Buffalo and Baltimore. There's 2 more losses, most likely. So, you know, again, just be careful with Joe Burrow, but he is Joe Burrow. Next up, Christian Watson. I think he looks great, quite frankly. I mean, he should have had another 22 yards last night. He should have had 3 grabs for like 64. I mean, that's pretty good in a game where, I mean, what did they throw for? I mean, that was ugly. You know, certainly you got to credit the Philly defense. They played very well. But Jordan Love throws for 183 on only 26 attempts. No, that was 176, sorry, on 36 attempts. But still, close enough. Look at this. Should have took both unders on the QBs last night. But Watson, you know, 4 targets. Again, should have caught 3 of them. One of them didn't count, but 2 for 45, that's pretty good. Their upcoming schedule is also pretty darn good for Jordan Love. I just kind of mentioned it for Love because a lot of teams play a lot of man that they're going to be seeing, and that's great for Love. We saw that in week 8. That was one of our top props that week, Sunday Night Football 2 weeks ago, and he crushed. But we didn't even sniff it last night, based on the schematics of it all. But going forward, they've got the Giants this week, the Vikings, and then the Lions, and then the Bears, and then the Broncos. Overall, that's very good. Even though the Broncos are good, they play a lot of man, and Denver plays a lot of man. Giants also play a lot of man. So I think we're looking good here going forward with Jordan Love and Christian Watson, and certainly all the other players. Next up here, I've been using the Ottoman Empire as my nickname for Cade Otton, but I think I've come up with another one. I'm going to call him the Fantasy Ottoman. Why? Because no one gets leaned on and supplies more support when his team has a bunch of receivers dropping like flies and injured. And, you know, Kate Otten is kind of an afterthought. I mean, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, wait, we need help. We need support. Where's the fantasy Ottoman? Let's get him. And that's kind of what he's been without Mike Evans and with Chris Godwin, a little iffy. Baker was back to dealing in week number 10. And I think this might stay strong here. I think the production may continue. Schedule looks good. Buffalo, LA Rams, Arizona, New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina, and Miami. Most of those teams are giving up digits to tight ends. So the fantasy Ottoman, he might actually give you the support you need at the tight end position. If not, how about a little Juwan Johnson? I believe I was the only person on the planet other than people in Tyler Shuck's immediate family who thought he actually threw the ball pretty well in week 9. Well, I think the narrative has changed just a little bit because he played a damn good game in week 10 with a 70% completion rate and 10.4 YPA, and he threw for 282/2 without throwing an interception. And the beautiful thing is that it's a two-headed monster in their passing game with Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson. That's it. They don't really check it down to the running backs much. They don't throw it to another receiver of note. They obviously just traded Rashid Shaheed. So I think we're looking at Juwan Johnson as like a thing that will stick. I've been giving love to Tez Johnson here for a number of weeks. Apparently no one's listening because he's still available at over 75% of Yahoo leagues. But the dude's got 4+ receptions in 4 of his last 5. He's playing with an MVP candidate, as I've been stating, in Baker Mayfield. And he looks good. Scored last week. I love Tez Johnson. Good player. Jacoby Brissett, sample size is increasing, and he's maintaining the production, which is all you need, all you can ask for. 258+ passing yards and 2 touchdowns in each of his first 4 starts, and might even get little Trey Benson back in the backfield this week. And the upcoming schedule is pretty damn solid, especially this week against San Francisco, Jacksonville at Tampa at LA Rams. Colston Loveland, he's got between now 3 and 6 catches and 4 straight. He even produced last week. That's the only under we lost out of 12. And it was looking good for a while there, by the way, until it wasn't, because he was getting shut out there in the first half. Dalton Schultz. I know nothing, but other than the fact that Dalton Schultz is, that's a Hogan's Heroes reference, by the way, for the kids. He is a tight end one right now in total scoring and fantasy points per game among tight ends still playing. I discluded Tucker Kraft and Darren Waller. So you take those guys out, then Dalton Schultz is a tight end one. And I think they do need him to kind of move the sticks here. I would also reiterate again, Parker Washington, as I stated last week, I think he's kind of the one, even though they did add Jacoby Myers, who made a couple of plays last week. Still don't care. Parker Washington is the only guy brave enough to go over the middle and catch hospital balls from Trevor Lawrence. So, and we'll see about Brian Thomas. He was out last week. It's been an absolute nightmare season for Brian Thomas. A couple of other names real quick. Devin Singletary, even though the backfield flipped back to Tyrone Tracy, the fantasy cockroach, you still got 10 fantasy points, Devin Singletary, because you can't get rid of him. Luther Burden, I'd give him a shot. I think we've seen enough of Olamide, Zaccheaute, Zaccheaus. Man, these names are tough. Mac Hollins, let's put him on the name just because it's easy to say. But he is kind of balling, and I don't know if we're going to see Kayshon Booty in a short week. That is what I have for you in terms of the waiver wire. I'm going to pop out a best bet for Thursday night's game in a moment. But first, if you think you know sports, start getting paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash. Sign up today and get a free $10. No deposit needed. When you do deposit, you get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play or head to better.app. Use the promo code VEASAN for your free $10 deposit bonus. And stay tuned. Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern on today's show. Adam Burke shares his early week betting positions. And my early week betting position and best bet is for Thursday night football, the Jets at New England. Breece Hall, under 60.5 rushing yards. He's done well on those zone concept runs. The New England Patriots, the toughest team in the world up against zone concept runs, giving up like 3 yards a carry, and they're ranked numero uno covering those runs. So under on Brees. Good luck with it. We'll catch you mañana for another edition of Prop Points on VSiN.